Dynasty Mode. I'm Mike, and I'm joined by Dave again. How you doing, Dave?
Good. How you doing?
Good. On vacation.
Ooh, yeah, beautiful, that's awesome.
Beautiful white north.
Where are you?
Got a big cat. Just outside North Conway in New Hampshire.
Okay. Yeah, I've been up that ways. I mean, for something that's like in the middle of nowhere, people like, I feel like people talk about Conway a lot.
Yeah, it's like a tourist area. I mean, there's skiing. There's like a whole bunch of little amusement parks, but this isn't a vacationing podcast.
You're not going to rank the water parks, Conway.
Yeah. I don't know. Story. I came on a vacation here as a very young child and went to all of them. I don't particularly remember them, but you know, we'll start our vacation pod once we really start making money off this so that we can, you know, afford them.
Oh, I like it.
All right. Let's get into this. Hope you checked out last week's episode where we just kind of fielded questions from all over the place. We missed one, got sent to my personal Twitter account, not the podcasts. So I missed it. Mm. And the question was, who has top 50 potential that isn't there yet? Who has top 10 potential at their position and isn't there yet? And the guy said he loves Antonio Gibson. I feel like he might actually be top 50 now if he's not already. And same with at his position. I think I meant to actually compare his stats to Christian McCaffrey's first year. So maybe while I do that, you can pull up or talk about your guys for it.
Well, I think, for top 50, I said Corey Davis. He's like pretty quietly like started to have like a good year, or like he's scored like 10 points a game. He's not like, he's like the 41st like wide receiver, but that's pretty good for someone that like everyone kind of threw on the rubbish heap last year.
Yeah, I mean, we asked that question earlier this year of, you know, what would he be now that he was no longer kind of expected to be the number one? Yeah. And that it looks pretty good. So let me see. He played in all 16. Christian McCaffrey played in all 16 games his rookie year. And he had 117 rushes for 435 yards, 113 targets for 80 receptions and 651 yards. So that's about what, like almost exactly 1,000 all-purpose yards. And so far, Mr. Antonio Gibson has, I mean, he hasn't done as much, but he's got 103 rushes with 436 yards, 7 touchdowns that way, and 30 targets, 26 receptions, 202 yards. No receiving touchdowns yet, but I think for a guy who was perceived as a project, that's a really good start.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, he's...
And so to, I believe his name is Justin Inch on Twitter. You kind of answered your own question with us with Antonio Gibson. I do think that he is not quite into those ranges yet, but is definitely going to make it there. And, you know, 50 is like such a bizarre number because there were definitely players drafted in the top 50 this year who you probably knew weren't going to be top 50 players, you know, when you drafted them.
Yeah.
Players like David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell, were hovering around that 50 mark and definitely are not.
Yeah.
Whereas like a player like T. Higgins, like that's a good example of a guy who's probably not into the top 50 yet. Him, Ayuk, you know, those early second round rookies that were picked. So
Christian Kirk would be a good one.
He's finally showing something. I in one of our leagues, like a redraft ish league, I cut him after like week 3 just because he was killing me.
Yeah. Yeah, but I don't know. He was highly touted by a lot of people, and he's starting it based off his college career. And he's starting to show that he's starting to pick it up on in the NFL in that Cardinal system.
All right. So before we get into the awards, Jameis Winston is going to have a starting job in the NFL again for at least 2 weeks. He was, I believe, the QB5 in fantasy last year with, and he's got good weapons. What are you viewing him as right now for at least these 2 weeks?
Do which team picked him up?
The Saints.
The Saints. I mean, he can, if he's starting, he's definitely going to be able to showcase his ability on that offense. I think it hurts him if he can't perform in the long term, but
yeah, I saw a good comparison where he is probably a more dynamic Tyrod Taylor for the rest of his career, where he gets starting jobs, but he's almost always losing them. And I felt that was probably pretty fair. Who knows? Maybe the LASIK surgery he got in the offseason allows him to perform above and beyond.
So he's a baseball player now?
Yeah. All right. So as we said last week, we're going to kind of do some mid-season-ish awards, I guess, in terms of fantasy football. We're a little bit past it, but those are the breaks. We have some of Kevin's thoughts in here. None of his prayers, as always. The first award is just the overall MVP. Unanimously, we all picked Dalvin Cook. I don't really think there's a whole lot to talk about here. When I was looking at it, I believe he averages 5 more points than Alvin Kamara, who is second, and he averages 10 more points than RB3. That gap is absolutely enormous. He's doing that having missed a game. I don't know. I didn't check after Monday night's game where he didn't put up, another 40 points like he had the prior 2 weeks. So maybe the gap closed slightly, but really impressive. Was there anybody else that you considered, seeing as this is?
I mean, you guys made it really hard. Unanimous. Dalvin Cook, and it sort of like, I just like looked at that and I was like, oh, can I really think of like someone else?
Yeah, I mean, he was above and beyond everybody. Yeah.
I guess Russell Wilson's had up until.
Yeah.
This year he's had a monster year.
Right, which was odd to see him get shut down in the way he did. I considered Kyler Murray just because I think he took a pretty large leap. You got a good value in him. Mm-hmm. Especially if you were able to get him as like your the position of like QB5. If you got him at QB3, I guess it's not nearly as great. That was kind of his projection, but in plenty of leagues, I think people would be fearful of committing over Russ or Dak for him.
I don't think it's not coming out of the wide receiver position for sure.
It's just too crowded. All right, least valuable player. I picked Carson Wentz. I think you could have potentially used quite a bit of draft capital on him at the beginning of the year, thought you were pretty set at the position. And if you did, you're basically getting absolutely nothing. So unless you got lucky with maybe Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, you're probably in pretty rough shape right now.
I had OBJ, but you pointed out to me that it's probably not fair because he's injured. So what did I say? I guess Zeke would be my least valuable player at this point. It's not really his fault necessarily because his quarterback went down, Dak went down, but at the same time he's not stepping up. And they're trying to they were feeding him the ball for a while and he just couldn't make it happen.
Yeah, I mean his offensive line has been injured. Also, I think speaking to that, the younger Ezekiel Elliott may have been able to do more than the current Ezekiel Elliott. So
Yeah. But for a player that hasn't been injured and you probably spent super high capital on him, he's probably sunk your year.
Yeah, oh for sure. Kevin had Michael Thomas. He's not here to defend that or pick a new person because he has been also injury prone, but at the same time, that is another. I mean, basically the first round picks have failed you minus Wentz. I mean, not Wentz. Kamara and
Cook.
Cook. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Let's move on. Rookie of the year. I changed mine. If you're playing in Superflex, I think it's Justin Herbert. If you're not playing in Superflex, I originally had James Robinson, and that is who you and Kevin both had. And then I changed it to Justin Jefferson just because I said he has the fifth most receiving yards through a wide receiver's first nine games of their career. Every other player in the top 10 had at least 70 targets to get there. Justin Jefferson only has 54. And you got to think that the teams who drafted Justin Jefferson were already good. He wasn't a, you know, even I don't think there's a planet where he was picked in the top five.
Yeah, I think he was back half probably of the first.
Back half of the first, maybe even early second. So whether a championship contending team picked him up and was able to, you know, I'm going to guess that they already had great running back depth because they won the championship, since that's generally how you win. You know, being able to add a player like that really boosts them. Or if you were, you know, maybe he felt, you know, you're in a 10-team league, you pick Clyde Edwards-Helaire one, Justin Jefferson, you know, first in the second round. That's also, you know, just awesome value for you. So,
yeah,
that's why I switched off James Robinson.
He's been amazing. I mean, I think as far as NFL skill position rookies go, I think it's definitely Justin Jefferson. But for a rookie that you drafted that helped you the most on your team this year, I would probably think James Robinson would be.
I mean, he's RB4. He's RB4. I think there's no argument to be made. Like, you know, unless you're just thinking, you know, Jefferson.
Yeah. And like, in
I think Jefferson is better at the wide receiver.
Yeah.
I think he's better at the wide receiver position than James Robinson is at the running back position.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
And Robinson might see fairly big regression at some point.
Well, right. And when we talked to Daniel at that, you know, a couple months ago now, I think we brought up the idea that why are these players who are undrafted, you know, they're always doubting whether or not they're any good. They're never just happy with them being as good as they are. All right. Best value. I put Robbie Anderson. I still believe he's a top 10 wide receiver, and there's not a chance you ever had to pay that much for him.
That's a good pick.
Who did you have? You had either James Robinson or Russell Wilson.
Yeah. I mean, for the same reason that I picked him as the rookie of the year. And Russell Wilson, you paid a lot for him, but you got a lot out of him. But in Dynasty, you probably didn't have to spend as much on him as you would for a running back or a wide receiver. And you were, at least until this week, you were getting QB1. He was the top overall, right?
I think Kyler Murray passed him this week, but ultimately, you know, he's been amazing. Kevin had Keenan Allen and Will Fuller. I think Will Fuller kind of falls into that Robbie Anderson category of those dart throw type wide receivers. You've seen, you know, them, what they can do, and for various reasons they haven't done it. Keenan Allen, on the other hand, he's just been a target monster. He's definitely a top 10 wide receiver. You probably didn't have to pay top 10 wide receiver price to get him.
Yeah, he's kind of the he's the kind of player that it's like always kind of surprising that he's still really good.
Yeah, I think he, so let me look up his age really quickly. I think he's just an example of one of those guys who's been in the NFL forever.
But he's still young, and, right?
Yeah, he's, yeah, like it's one of those things where you feel like he's been in the NFL forever, but he actually just joined the league when he was, you know, 16. Yeah, so he's 28. He's 28, but he's been in the league for 7 years.
Yeah.
So, but he's wide receiver 7 right now. Like, and that's awesome because he is getting, according to Sleeper, which I have pulled up, minus week one, where he had Tyrod Taylor as his quarterback, he has pretty much hit or beat his projection in every game. So you have to like that. And there's really been no terrible games, which is also awesome.
Yeah.
All right. After, you know, doing best value, you have to conversely do worst value. I picked Mark Andrews. I think people bought him as the tight end 3.
Mm-hmm.
And I think actually, oddly enough, that the position is so terrible that I looked and he's – it's been really bad.
He's tight end five. Yeah, he is.
Which is crazy because that just means the position is really bad because he's not doing what you paid
the price for him. Unless you drafted Kelce.
Kelce and Waller.
Yeah.
That's Waller. About it. I mean, Kittle's been hurt. But I think whether it was in an auction or in a draft, you had to spend way too much on him to get him.
Yeah.
So that's that. Your pick was David Johnson.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you
can't disagree with that.
You don't have to pay that much for him compared to other running backs, but based off of what they traded for him, you probably were expecting a bit more out of him. So.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely said at the beginning of the season, you can't blame him for being the return in a bad trade. And I definitely thought because he was basically the farm was sold to acquire him that he was going to be really good. And not the case.
If you drafted him this year in an auction, you've probably paid at least $30 for him.
Yeah, you definitely did. You definitely paid that probably 30 to 35. And if you're doing a $200 draft, that's 15% for something that someone that is at best a flex.
Yeah.
All right. A guy, next one, cut bait. Type of player who you feel as though there's nothing left. He's got nothing. But maybe you can still trade him to someone and receive more than nothing. And both Kevin and I have N'Keal Harry. He's looked awful. I kind of hoped that Cam Newton would come in and work with him and he would not suffer from the fact that Tom Brady didn't like him. I just think he doesn't have NFL talent, and maybe somebody who's looking to bolster their roster will give you a third or fourth round pick right now.
Mm-hmm.
I would definitely take the third, the fourth. I might just try to ride it out and hope he got better. But
yeah, that's quite a thin line.
Well, I feel like a fourth almost never hits. A third has a potential to hit.
Sure.
And I don't think N'Keal Harry's going to hit. So.
Yeah.
Tyler Eifert.
Yeah, I took cut bait more and just someone I would just drop and not feel bad about dropping. I don't think you get anything for Tyler Eifert at this point. I think this year he had the opportunity to show that he could be good. He kind of was put into a situation where he could have taken over and shown that he could be like a quality starting tight end and maybe fantasy relevant, and he just didn't do it. So if I had him, I would just drop him at this point.
Yeah. All right. A player that you are going, you think people should buy up in any league, you know, the price probably hasn't actually hit. You know, you're still getting a good value. My choice was Jalen Reagor. I was high on him. I actually sold him in our league because I'm making a big push to win, and I didn't really want to have an injured rookie when I could turn it into something that would let me win this year. But everything he's done on the field in Philadelphia has looked pretty good, and on a team that has looked pretty bad, I think that's pretty good potential.
Yeah, he looks,
I'll say
he
Kevin looks has.
Yeah, he looks like a really
Kevin
good
has jumped. Oh, let's talk over each other a little more. Tell me what you think about Jalen Reagor, then I'll tell everybody what Kevin said.
Oh, I was just gonna say Jalen Reagor. He looks like a really good speedster. He actually knows how to get open with his speed, whereas a lot of those guys out of college just can't figure it out.
Yeah. So Kevin put Jonathan Taylor. I feel like, so, you know, I don't know.
It's going to be between really hard to buy him.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to say. Despite the fact that he hasn't looked great, I feel as though you're still basically, I mean, you own him. If somebody offered you what was looking like the fifth pick in the first round for him, and you know, basically you just got to redo with the pick, would you take it?
Yeah, I would still do Taylor.
Yeah, so I mean, I just don't know. I don't think he's necessarily gained any value, but I also don't think he's somebody you would give up on right away.
Yeah, I mean, running backs that you draft in the first round, I don't think there's many people who are going to trade them away.
Yeah. All right, you had T. Higgins.
Yeah, so I mean, he's starting to flash, so it might be a harder ask, but I think you potentially could still get him. Someone might think they're selling high, but I think he's
probably I don't think he's peaked yet by any means. He's been very, very good. I mean, the whole wide receiver class has surprisingly been very good, and it's kind of funny that in the league that you and I are in with Kevin and a couple other guys who cover football for a living, Henry Ruggs fell super hard, and basically, if you adjust the whole draft, kind of got drafted in the right spot. You know, all these guys went above him. All right, the guy you're trying to sell, you know, you think you can get way better value for him right now than he's really worth. I put Deontay Johnson. He missed a game this year. He's been hurt in three and missed most of the games. He has 65 targets with only a 57% catch rate, which is pretty bad, seeing as he's getting a massive amount of targets, you know, teens almost every week, whereas Juju is getting – he has 70 targets. I don't believe he's missed a game. He might have missed one. But he's catching 77% of what's been thrown to him. Part of me has to think that sooner than later that flips. If Johnson isn't catching them, why wouldn't you know, make those tosses to Juju? It's just really ineffective with, you know, the volume that he's getting. And eventually somebody's going to tell Roethlisberger, don't throw it to the guy. he drops half of them.
Yeah, I think Roethlisberger would – he'll figure that out on his own. But he must be really good at getting open. And he decides it's a coin toss.
Yeah, either that or he's just somehow not, you know, maybe these are, you know, these stats don't tell us, you know, how tight the coverage was and, you know, what the, you know, I don't have the next gen stats, you know, what the separation is between him and his, you know, know, defender.
Maybe Kevin has really small hands.
Yeah. Kevin has Joe Mixon. I don't know who you're fooling into buying Joe Mixon, but he can't defend that. You have Aaron Jones. That one I can understand.
Yeah, I feel like
we might have a little argument.
Oh, I feel like Aaron Jones has a lot of carries at this point, and he's doing pretty well. I would be fielding offers for him.
I mean, the only reason I wouldn't be fielding offers for him is we came into the year expecting him to not be very good, and he's been every bit as good as he was basically last year.
Yeah, but that means you might get good value for him now, and people might do the same thing before next season.
Yeah, I mean, I think the poor guy, you know, poor guy, and you know, just isn't going to get his fair, you know, due from the fantasy community.
Yeah.
All right.
He doesn't have nearly as many carries as I thought he did.
Yeah, I mean, he's real boom or bust. He's very effective.
Yeah.
Seemingly when he has the ball. I can pull up his stats real quick.
He has basically a career 5 yards per carry.
Yeah, I mean, he had this season. I mean, he's missed 2 games, but he's never had less than 10 points, which is, you know, pretty good considering he was around the 20th player overall.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk. A guy that you can't believe is still rostered. I intended it to be, you know, personal team, but.
Oh, I can look at that real quick, but
I have Jared Stidham. Picked him up thinking that he was going to be the Patriots starting quarterback, and it has definitely not been him. It doesn't look like it's ever going to be him, and you know, for some reason, I still have not dropped him.
Oh yeah, I guess mine would be Royce Freeman.
Yes,
I've still got him.
It's so bizarre because you basically just, there's no reason to keep rostering them, but somehow there's less guys to do it.
Sometimes when the bench is so deep, there's just not like enough incentive to like try to find someone who might be starting at some point.
Yeah. I mean, it's just one of those things where it's like this guy's, I can't ever imagine him, like, basically, if he becomes my starting quarterback, like, I'm in bad shape anyways. Like, that's not good.
Yeah.
Royce Freeman, I mean, I feel like at least with a running back, a couple injuries in a flashy game, you know, you might end up actually using him.
Hmm.
I mean, he's justifiable compared to others. All right, this is like a personal one, you know, maybe just an idea into the brains of people. I had Juju Smith-Schuster. I was getting pretty sick of him. I traded him and turned him into Adam Thielen, and I basically felt as though I was getting a better wide receiver, but he was older. And I played him for a week, and then I turned around and made another trade where I included Thielen and used the fact that he was older to make up to gain some value and get Allen Robinson. So I feel like going from Juju to Thielen to, you know, Allen Robinson was awesome because I ended up with a top 10 wide receiver after not having a top 10 wide receiver.
Yeah.
So what did you think was your best good
trades? I have not actually been making nearly as many moves this offseason or this season as you have.
Yeah.
I looked at my my transactions, and it looks like maybe picking up JD McKissick off the waiver wire might have been my best pickup this year, which is not great.
I mean, it's like the trades from the preseason, but. I mean, I think that's pretty crazy that he was on our waiver wire, because I thought for sure he would stay on the other team just because they didn't have any depth, and he was known as a potentially being what he is. Mm-hmm. But he's one of only two 20 players ever or something to receive 14 or more targets in two games in a row. And it's like all Hall of Fame wide receivers and then him.
That's insane.
Yeah, I mean, we'll talk about him again later, but right now, yeah, that's a great move. Kevin had picking Travis Fulgham. He does appear as though he has come back down to earth, but either way, that's a, you know, if even if you're not starting him, he proved himself to be a very valuable bench piece. And then the worst move I made was I included Zach Moss in a trade. At that point in time, it kind of felt like he wasn't ever going to get the job in Buffalo, that it was just kind of going to be Singletary. In the long run, it just doesn't seem like it's anybody's job, but he was definitely the one that I would have preferred to have kept, but I ended up trading Singletary too because I didn't really want him.
Yeah. I guess that was my opportunity to grab Singletary, but yeah. I wasn't trying very hard. Even though I said I
right. Maybe you can still acquire him. What was your worst move?
I don't know if this is really a bad move. It's just sort of a toss up. In the offseason, I traded Daniel Jones and a 2021 second for Burroughs. And right now it's looking like my 2021 second is a late to mid 2021 second. So I feel pretty good about it.
Not only that, I mean, if you could start Joe Burrow the rest of the season and not feel terrible about it, you cannot say the same about Daniel Jones.
Yeah, exactly.
Then Kevin put trading for Kerryon Johnson. I don't remember what the trade was, but I can't imagine he gave up very much to just acquire some running back depth.
Yeah, I can figure that out pretty fast.
While you do that, we'll talk about players that we think are it's time for them to retire.
What's his team name?
Huge Whirlwind.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay.
So, time to retire, Adrian Peterson. Get out of the way, man. Like you put up enough points that I can't justify dropping you in any league, but I cannot ever start you. And I just wish you would retire so that I could have a roster spot.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm guessing he traded a draft pick as well because he traded Drew Sample for Kerryon Johnson.
Oh yeah. There was a draft pick involved in that trade. I don't know what it was. So your time to retire guy, Jordan Reed, are you just looking out for his health?
Yeah, I feel bad for his brain. I don't know. He definitely flashes, but he can't stay healthy for more than like a game. Like it feels like he has like one or two good games and he just gets knocked out for like eight games, plays another game, gets knocked out for the rest of the season. And then that seems to be.
I remember. Super early on in his career, he was kind of a revelation for me in fantasy. I thought that I had really found something in him. And I mean, when he plays, he's pretty good, but yeah. Dude is not his glass man. Kevin had Julian Edelman. Hard to tell. He hasn't really seen the field today, this season, but you see the decline, and he does feel like the type of player who's gonna hang on way too long.
Do you think Gronk should be on the time to retire list?
I don't know. He's kind of like turned it back on. Like it almost seems as though he just needed to shake off the rust, and they figured out how to use him. I wouldn't put him there yet.
Yeah. If there was a time to retire again category, would you put him there?
Sure.
Is he the only?
He's about the only one. All right, ready to break out. I have Antonio Gibson. I don't think we need to put too much more talk into him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have Christian Kirk. He's
who we've also already talked about.
Yeah.
I mean, these are guys who are definitely seemingly just finding their place in their offense and, you know, getting comfortable, and their roles are becoming really solidified, and they're going, you know, just going the right places. Kevin has J.K. Dobbins.
It's kind of low-hanging.
He's flashed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's flashed. I don't quite understand why the only thing they did with him this past Sunday was put him in to drop the pass on the last play of the game in a monsoon. Like, I don't know why he wasn't rushing the ball all game.
Yeah.
Gus Edwards looks good, but I don't really get
what he's doing. He's not a stud. He's not an RB1.
Right.
So I don't know why they just wouldn't give it to Dobbins over him anyway.
Yeah. All right. The next category is players who you think have peaked, which I interpreted as there is no getting better than this. It's going downhill. Then the players who I believe it's plateaued, players who have got as good as they got, but they're not going to decline. And then guys who are just failing at a rapid pace. So peaked, I thought, is Cooper Kupp. I don't ever think he's getting better than he is. And the nature of that offense just makes me think that he's never, you know, they use Josh Reynolds a lot this week. I just can't see him going anywhere but down.
Mine was kind of like a joke. I said Rex Burkhead. It's like he's on the second hump of his career. And I think
Rex Burkhead is it's funny because I didn't actually end up putting him anywhere. He was
he's RB22.
Well, right. No, and the thing is, I wanted to include Damian Harris for something on this, just because I think he actually looks really good, and he looks like the type of running back who might actually, have a bigger role than the usual Patriots running back. And then I also wanted to somehow, he could have been my declining guy. He's not, but James White, you know, unfortunately had, you know, his parent pass away during the season, but he, after years and years and years of being a great third down pass catching back, is just completely fallen off. So neither of those guys made any of the list, but I felt like that those are two things worth talking about.
Sure.
Plateaued, so players who have got as good as they're gonna get, they're gonna stay that good for a while. I have Mecole Hardman. I think he's pretty good, but it doesn't look like he's ever going to get the opportunity in that offense to really break out. And I don't know if that's because of lack of talent, lack of trust, just too many good players in front of him, but it doesn't look like he's going to ever, you know, become more than a wide receiver three.
Yeah. Yeah. There's too many options currently. Yeah. In Kansas City.
Actually have a really good one.
Jameson Crowder. I mean, he is what he is. I think he's even if they have a better quarterback, I don't think he just turns into like something higher than what he's playing at now.
Yeah, he's a PPR monster. He's definitely just – it'll be interesting to see the rest of the season if Denzel Mims cuts into his catches and, you know, targets.
Yeah.
But I definitely think that, you know, Jameson Crowder is going to be pretty good at catching the ball in the NFL for a while, but not getting any better. Kevin had one that I also even considered, which was DJ Moore. I think people really thought that he was going to become maybe even a top five wide receiver this year. He hasn't. Maybe he's just the Jarvis Landry Award. Always a wide receiver two, never a wide receiver one.
Sure.
Declining, I had mentioned possibly James White, but I ended up with Marvin Jones Jr. After being like a real boomer bust guy, he's basically just busted, and he's 30 years old, and it's just, it doesn't look great. He's had two good weeks in a row with Kenny Galladay's absence.
Yeah.
But I don't think you're getting much in return for him, whereas everybody we've mentioned before, you're still getting something back.
Yeah, he's a flex at best if you were to start him.
He's a flex at best, and you're not in good shape if you're doing that.
Yeah. I have T.Y. Hilton. I think he's done.
Yeah, I agree. He's going to just fizzle. Probably be a totally okay NFL wide receiver for a couple of years, but just not be that top option that he once was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Overrated.
I watched some tape with him because someone was trying to trade him to me. And he was just like, if the ball wasn't going to him, he wasn't even trying. And that's not usually a good sign.
Yeah.
I think he like watched an interception and the guy just like basically like ran by him and he just literally stood there.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not buying him. I saw that trade offer. That was not a good trade offer. All right, overrated player. I have JD McKissick. We talked about it. He is absolutely performing at a crazy level. I'm going to actually look up what his rank in a PPR league is right now because it's
for the season?
Ridiculously. Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe you can talk about yours for a second.
Yeah. Mine was kind of just a joke towards you guys. I put Taysom Hill. I think he's overrated. Totally wasn't worth that contract. He's not playing tight end. He's not playing quarterback. And when he does, he's just not good.
It would be. So I'm not going to disagree with you on that because there is no argument for it. I am a little intrigued now with Drew Brees getting hurt if they use him a bit more.
But what does it mean if they don't?
I don't know. I truly don't understand what they did with him. If he doesn't, even if it's a case of he's on the field half the time with Jameis Winston, it's just going to be bizarre. But these next couple of weeks, I think, will truly determine his true value. All right, we're going to close it out with the most underrated player. I think the most underrated player is Deshaun Watson. He just doesn't, he's on a bad team right now. He's, it's been managed terribly. Dude's an amazing quarterback. He's the type of quarterback who you set it and forget it, and there's only like five, six of them in the league. And I feel like he just kind of gets left out of that conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I picked Daryl Henderson. If there weren't so many running backs on that team, he's having a pretty good year. I don't know if it's the plays that are having him run on, but he could easily have 1,000 rushing yards this year, which you probably would not have guessed before the season started.
For sure.
And you could still get him for pretty cheap because Akers is there and they have some other running backs that are worth rostering.
Yeah, I mean, I do think he is underrated in the sense that I think people will never pay his true value. That being said, I am slightly scared of that whole backfield. The whole like backfield by committee is such a scary proposition because A, it's like the Rams one where it's all really good players.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really scary to commit to any of them because, you know, if one guy's, you know, you're talking Madden, if one guy's a 99 and the other guy's a 92, you commit to the 92 and he doesn't see the field that often. And that's, yes. You know, that's tough. But I do think that's, I'd certainly rather have a part of that running back by committee than like, say, even the Bills or whatever the heck they're trying to do there in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. I mean, Malcolm Brown is his only real competition. And he's getting kind of old at this point.
True. It's ultimately who do they use between him and Cam Akers in the long run. And Henderson, I feel, has done enough to keep him away from the field. But yeah. I don't feel great about that, you know, saying, okay, next year.
It's true.
So there we go. That was all of the quote unquote awards we are giving out. You know, it's interesting to win an award for being the worst, such as Carson Wentz or Mark Andrews in my case. But you know, there's where our heads are for the season so far.
Yeah.
All right. So we talked about it earlier. We've been kind of doing big picture stuff. We're going to go back to zooming in on things. May not be an episode next week because of the holiday. It's not a normal holiday anymore this year, so who knows. But either next week or the week after, we're going to start looking at all of the individual teams again, and I think we're going to start we're going to do the overrated, underrated, and maybe even just who's the most properly priced guys on each team.
Yeah, I like that. That sounds fun.
So we'll be trying to find you the bargains and the players that you should sell, and hopefully set you up to go into the off season knowing the moves you need to make.
Yeah. Maybe we can try to project what that team might look like if they put together one more piece next season. How that might help the players.
Even better.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for listening. You know, if as always, if you want to reach out to us on social media, it's Dynasty Mode Pod on all of them. And then DynastyModePod@gmail.com. You know, as always, ask questions, interact. We'll get to you on the podcast. Maybe just not the week we said we would. All right.
Yeah.
What?
Well, we would have. It went to your personal Twitter DMs,
yeah,
right?
It slipped through the cracks. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, at least they didn't send it to Fantasy Bays.
You got to get that. none of our listeners better steal that from you.
It would be kind of funny if they did. It means someone's listening to the end of the podcast.
All right. Well, hopefully somebody listens to this. See you soonish.
See you later. Bye. All right. Bye.